You have no doubt probably heard a statement that goes like this: everything rises and falls on leadership. Maybe you have heard this statement as well: an organization is one change of leadership away from ruin. Leadership is of vital importance in any organization. It is of vital importance within the church. It's of vital importance within the home. The question that we have to ask is simply what we're going to ask tonight: what does godly leadership look like? The Bible gives us several truths that will help to paint for us a proper portrait of a good and a godly leader. I think it's important that we understand what God describes as a good leader, a godly leader, because all of us, in some regards, have opportunities to be involved in leadership. We have an opportunity to influence other people around us for the gospel and for the glory of the Lord. We're going to look at those five truths tonight. Before we do that, though, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into our thoughts tonight. Father, we thank you for our time this evening. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to consider what a godly leader looks like, to see the portrait painted to us through the Word of God. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would teach us. I pray that you would help us in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked you tonight to open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look simply at verse 12 to begin with tonight. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Paul is here writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. He is instructing him in the faith. He is instructing his fellow laborer with some practical truths for the work of ministry. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 gives us the first part of the portrait of what a godly leader looks like. It reads, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So we understand it from the outset that a godly leader sets a right example. If we want to know what a good leader, a godly leader looks like, as we look around for those who might be leaders, we would understand that a godly leader is one that sets the right example for others to follow. You know, in order to be a leader, you have to have followers. It's hard to lead if there's no one to follow. A good leader is one who has those who will follow them, and he sets a good example. He gives a good reason to follow. It is imperative that we who have the opportunity to be a leader, no matter what capacity that leadership is in, would always be mindful that we should set a good example. The best way for us to lead others is by our godly character. Men will never be perfect, but we ought to all strive to be godly. We ought to be looking to set a good example. As Paul begins to share this with Timothy, he says to him that he is to be a good example of the believer. And then he tells him what that example ought to be in. And I want you to see with the several things that he says about being an example. We are to be an example how? Well, Timothy simply is told in word. The idea of the term in word there speaks of our speech. It talks about the things that we say. We are to be an example in our words, in the things that we say, and what others hear us say. It is not just simply that we are careful in our demeanor, but also in our words. People listen to what we say. And we are to set a good example in word. Careful to be one who tells the truth. Careful that we never defraud someone in the things that we say. Then he goes on and says we should be one in conversation. That's an old English term which means the manner of life. What Paul is here referring to is simply this: how do we handle all of our affairs in the way that we live? In everything that we do, we are to be an example. The question is, does our deportment show Christ's likeness? Or does our manner of life show worldliness? Do we set the example of godliness in the way that we carry the affairs of our life? Paul says, Timothy, you've called to be a leader. Be an example in word and in manner of living, the way that you carry yourself through life. But he also speaks of in charity. We are to be an example in charity. That's in our love, our compassion for God and others. He then moves on to speak of in spirit. The term there speaks of our demeanor, our attitude, the way that we carry ourselves in every situation that we're faced. What's your spirit like? I'm not asking, are you spiritual? I'm asking, what is your spirit like? What is your attitude? What is the perception of you from other people? You know, sometimes you meet people and you say, do you know so-and-so? Oh, she's some sweet. Just the nicest person you could ever meet. Oh, look out for them. Woo! Got a short fuse. Temper. That's your spirit. We're told to be an example in our spirit. We're to be an example in faith. That means that we're one who walks by faith and not by sight. We're willing to take God at His word. They should see that our faith is real, that it's lasting. By the way, when will that mostly be seen? When will people know if your faith is real and lasting? When it's tested. You know what the blessing has been over the last few days? When I first went to the hospital, first talked with Jerry, the first thing that I heard was, Pastor, this is what we're taking out of this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. But in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And it wasn't fake. It was real. Because that's what he said to me. That's what Sue said to me. And you can tell by the words, by the manner of life, that was what they were living. There was a real faith. And folks, we ought to be able to show a real faith in our lives for those who are watching. In purity. That means in the holiness of our life. People should see that we live holy. Why? Because the God we serve is holy. The church today, the world today, those that we have opportunity to lead today, need to see a good example of what it means to be a believer. I remember hearing years ago, somewhere during my college years, a statement that goes like this: to someone, you are the greatest example of what a believer ought to be. To someone, I don't know who that is, but to someone, you're the epitome of what a Christian is. They look to you, and if you were to ask them, what's a believer, they will define it through your life. Are you a good example of a believer? Young people, there is someone in this church today who looks to you as an example. Know where they are? Downstairs. Those little kids don't look towards us. We're too old. They look at you. You are their heroes. What kind of example do you set for the generation underneath of you? Because it does matter. You say, Pastor, how do you know that's true? Watch, folks.
when you see the younger ones find the older ones and see who they hug. Oh, it's like they've never seen them before in their life, and half of them were here just a few hours ago in school. Why? Because there's respect for them. They're heroes to them. So young people, be an example of the believer. To your brothers, your sisters, to others within our church and around. Wherever you're at school, whether it's at work, no matter where we are, folks, we're to be an example of the believer. That is part of being a good and godly leader. There's another thing I want you to see, and that's found in Mark chapter 10. So if you would, turn there. And that is this. A godly leader demonstrates a servant's heart. Mark chapter 10 tonight. Look at verse 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. A good and a godly leader is one who sets a good example and is one who demonstrates a servant's heart. The world today has a motto for leadership. They have that which they think is of greatest importance. So the world's word for leadership is found there in our text, and that is simply this. The world's word for leadership is rule. It's lordship. It's authority. It's the fact of being over, of being in dominion over someone else. That's the world's view of leadership. But the Bible has a completely different view. The Lord's word for leadership is serve. A good and godly leader is one that sets an example, but is also one who has the servant's heart. Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom, the chiefest among you, is not the one who lords over the others, but the one who is the servant of all. It's to have a servant's heart, willing to serve. And Jesus set that example. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. To serve. He came to seek and save those who were lost. If you and I are going to be good and godly leaders, then what God is looking for is those who are willing to serve. What's your philosophy? Be served or serve? What's your philosophy when you come to the Church of Christ? Be served or serve? What's your philosophy at home? Be waited upon or wait upon others? What's it like at work? Get all I can get or give all that I can give? Serve or be served? The world has its philosophy and it's be served. We lord over, we rule. God says that's not what leadership is. It's the one who is the servant of all, as Christ was the servant of all. Next, I want you to see with me that a godly leader takes responsibility for his actions. Go over to Luke chapter 12, if you would. Luke chapter 12. Again, we're trying to paint this picture of a godly leader. All of us have opportunity to influence others and be leaders. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 42. Let's begin in verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the menservants and the maidservants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of them they shall ask the more. Understand the principle. There is a day coming where all of us one day will stand and give an account. And a good and godly leader is one who takes responsibility for his actions. The parable before us reminds us of the truth that we're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Yes, he has gone away. He is preparing a place for us. But there's a day coming, and folks, we don't know when that might be. But he will come. And he is going to hold his servants into account. And the faithful servant, a good leader, a godly leader, is one who takes responsibility for his actions. To whom much is given, much shall be required. A godly leader accepts his responsibility and he does his best. He doesn't shirk his responsibilities. He doesn't try to leave that with someone else. He realizes they've been given to him. And he accepts those. And he serves in those. And he's an example in all of that. Why? Because he understands that there's a day coming that he's going to give an account. And to whom much is given, much is required. God is looking for godly leaders who will take responsibility for that which has been given to him. I think one of the saddest things that can be said by people today is, well, I'm not going to take responsibility for that. That's not up to me. That's not my responsibility. I don't think that shows the right spirit. I don't think that shows the right heart. If you and I are going to be leaders, and I think we need to be, in whatever capacity God gives us. Young people, you're leaders within this church. Say, who do we lead? We don't make decisions. No, you don't make decisions. But you lead by your example, the children of our church. They look to you. Be an example. Take responsibility. Our deacons are leaders. Sunday school teachers are leaders. Ushers are leaders. You're a leader at work. Take responsibility and do what is called of you, because what is given to us one day will be required of us. We need to accept our responsibilities and readily do them. Turn over now with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs and look at chapter 29. Proverbs 29 tonight. I want you to see another part of this portrait. That is, a godly leader is not ashamed to make decisions, and he's not ashamed of the decisions that he makes. Proverbs 29 and verse 4 says, The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Look at verse 14. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Solomon offers to us some sage advice to those of us who would be willing to take our responsibility to lead. Here's what he says. A godly leader is not afraid to make a decision, and he's not afraid to stand on the decision that he's made. Leadership requires, folks, difficult choices. At times, others aren't going to like the choice that we make. But you don't lead by popular opinion. That's what's wrong with politics today. We lead by popular opinion. That's not what leaders are called to do. Leaders are called to make the right decision at the right time. And sometimes those decisions are hard. Solomon understood that, and he shares these thoughts. He says, a godly leader does not seek the opinion of his peers nor his followers. You say, where do you see that? Look at verse 4 again. He says simply, the king by judgment, decision, establishes the land. Who overthrows it? He who receiveth the gifts. The guy who takes the bribes and listens to everybody else, receives the gifts, and then that's how he makes his decision, he overthrows the land. He brings destruction. But a king establishes his kingdom through godly wisdom and judgment. God doesn't call us as leaders to be popular. What he calls us to do is lead. Man, here's the responsibility. You were called to lead your home. You're not called to make decisions that all the children and wife might always like. Sometimes decisions have to be made for the good of the family, for the good of your children, that they're not going to like. That's okay. Well, I want my kids to like me, so I'm not going to do that. That's a bad way to lead. God wants us to make right decisions based on good and godly judgment. So how do we deal with the fact that sometimes we just don't know if our leader's doing the right thing? Because it really doesn't matter what position you're in. If you're under leadership, sometimes you begin to wonder, is the leadership doing the right thing? How do you respond to your leaders? What's God want from us as those who are under those who lead? And by the way, all of us in some form or another are under leadership. So how do you respond to leaders? Let me share a couple things with you that I think the Bible would teach us. Our response to leaders ought to go like this. Number one, we should pray for them. We ought to encourage them. I think our leaders need to be loved by us. They need our support in everything. We need to follow them as they lead. And do our best not to try and control them. Because God has called those to lead. Let's face it, if you're called to be a leader, don't you want those same things in response? Don't you want people to pray for you and encourage you, to love you, to support you, follow you when you're trying to lead, not control you or manipulate you? That's exactly what we want. And when we're under leadership, we ought to do the same. Now here's the reality. If you're called to lead, some may not pray for you, some may not encourage you, some may not love you. They may choose not to. Some won't support you, some won't follow you no matter what you try to do, and some will always try to manipulate you and control you. But you know what? You're called to lead, so make a decision. And be willing to stand by that. And by the way, the decisions you make ought to be based on the Word of God. And don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Stand up and lead. Leaders must stand unashamed of doing what is right. We have been entrusted with the leadership, and one day we're going to give an account for it. Here's another thought tonight. A godly leader displays a disciplined life. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And with this we'll close tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4. A godly leader displays a disciplined life. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Paul writes to Timothy and says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." We are called to exercise, to discipline our life for the purpose of godliness. That means that at times as a leader, we have to make choices within our own lives and affect our own lives that we might be able to better minister to other people. Paul said it this way, "All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient." I have the right to do many things, but I can't do many things because it's not going to help me as a leader. Paul said, "I bring my body under subjection." Why? "If that as I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway." So he disciplined his life with a purpose of godliness. Let me give you a quote tonight from Samuel Brengel in a book that he wrote, The Soul Winner's Secret. That's what he says in relation to leadership. He says, "It is not won by promotion, but by many prayers and tears. It is not gained by seeking great things for ourselves, but like Paul, by counting those things that are gained to us as loss for Christ. This is a great price, but it is to be paid by the leader who would not be merely a nominal leader, but a real spiritual leader of men." I like these final words. "A leader whose power is recognized and felt in heaven, on earth, and in hell." What kind of leader do you want to be? I know what kind of leader God wants of all of us. I think our world needs to see more and more leaders because they will willingly make the sacrifice and give their life fully unto God and be an example of the believer in word and conversation and spirit and faith and purity. Because they're an example, because they're willing in all that they do to show a servant's heart, because they're willing to take responsibility for their actions, they're not ashamed of the decisions that they make based upon the Word of God, and they've disciplined the life. Because of them, their power is felt in heaven, on earth, and in hell. God's given us an opportunity to be a leader. What kind of leader will you be? God has called some within our church to be leaders. What kind of leaders are we? We're making a decision at the end of the month on those that will join our leadership team in the form of deacons. What kind of leaders will those men be as we make that decision? We've got to weigh those things carefully, folks, because God is concerned and looking for godly leaders. You go throughout the pages of Scripture, and here's what you are always going to find from the beginning to the end. God has always chosen men to work through, to lead others for His glory. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, even Saul, David, Solomon, the kings, and then you come into the New Testament era. We had the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers. He's always looking for men to serve, men to lead. And all of us have that opportunity. It might be a smaller capacity than someone else. That's okay. Take the opportunity to be an influence and influence them as a godly leader. What kind of leader will we be in our home? What kind of leader at work? What kind of leader within the church? Here's the truth. Everything does rise and fall on leadership. And an organization is one change of leadership away from ruin. It's true. I can share with you example upon example
of the ruin that comes with wrong leadership change. You say, well, in the church, that's just the pastor. You're not going anywhere. Okay, listen. Sunday school teacher can make a difference in one quarter. A master club worker can make a difference in 1 year. A youth worker can change things in a moment. A deacon can change the atmosphere of a meeting in a moment in time. It can happen. Leadership is of vital importance. And the question is, what kind of leader are you going to be? Let's pray together, please.